Hey, what's up, email marketers? Tom Tate here with a quick announcement before we start today's show. At AWeber, we're all about taking action. Our community of AWeber users are the exact same way, and I personally get very excited serving people who wake up in the morning and start their day off by saying, "What awesome things am I going to do today?" It's really, really refreshing. So we wanted to take that energy and put together some tools to help you make today your day. Head on over to aweber.com/today to check it out. We've put together a series of checklists and resources to help you do the things that will take your business to the next level. So whether you want to create your first online course, record your first YouTube video, maybe you want to create your first Facebook ad, or get your first 50 email subscribers, something super relevant for the listeners of this show, maybe you want to design your first shareable image, or my personal favorite, record your first podcast episode, The time to wait and hesitate is over. We have all the tools and all the inspiration to help you succeed. And we're here at AWeber to help support you with email marketing and beyond. We're really here to help you take your business to the next level. So today is your day to make it happen. Head on over to aweber.com/today. Again, that's aweber.com/today to check it out.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Me About Email Marketing podcast. This podcast is proudly brought to you by the team at AWeber. AWeber is an email service provider founded in 1998. Our goal at AWeber is to help you grow and engage your tribe in remarkable ways with email marketing. Learn more about our awesome team and set of features at aweber.com.
Hello, email marketers, and welcome back to episode 34 of the Ask Me About Email Marketing podcast, where we're talking about all things email marketing and no questions are off limits. I'm your host, Tom Tate. I'm the product marketing manager here at AWeber. I am super, super excited that you are listening to this particular episode because this episode is all about video and email. And personally, I'm such a novice when it comes to all things video on the web, let alone using it to supercharge your email marketing campaigns. I'm definitely not the expert to talk to when it comes to video. So we have an awesome guest expert today, Margo Mazur. Welcome. You're from Wistia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Awesome to be here. It's going to be fun.
So I have an initial question. Is there a fun name that you attribute to diehard Wistia fans?
We call them Wistians. Everyone is part of the Wistia family. So the folks who work at Wistia are Wistians. The folks who use Wistia are Wistians. And we try to not kind of differentiate between the two. We're all one big, happy Wistia family.
Yeah, and we are definitely Wistians here at AWeber. Wistia is our video hosting platform of choice. We use it. The analytics are incredible. The community is great.
Thank you.
We attended Wistia Fest the past 2 years, and this past year, one of our team members, Jay Moore, had the opportunity to speak, which was really awesome. So thank you guys. Thank you guys for creating such an awesome product and really building a great community around it. Is there any... Did I give Wistia justice? So you guys are a video hosting platform. Is there any other descriptors that might give our audience a better idea of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, totally. So we're a video hosting platform that's built specifically for business. So what that means is basically you upload your videos onto Wistia. You're able to customize them so you can change the look of the player to match your brand. You can change the thumbnail. You can do all sorts of really cool stats and analytics with your videos. So you can see how many people watched them, what the play rate was, what the engagement was. You can go down to the individual member who watched your videos and see how they performed or what kind of videos they watched. And you can also link them to marketing automation platforms, which is really pertinent for folks who are listening right now. So you can connect them to your HubSpot, your Marketo, your Pardot, your Salesforce, and a bunch of other integrations that we have, and then see how they perform in email and automation.
Yeah, so I would love to know kind of your history with Wistia. What's your current role and how did you get involved with the team?
Sure, yeah. So I'm currently the partnership coordinator at Wistia, which means that I do a lot of the co-marketing. I do some events here and there, but mostly I work with partners to create some cool projects. So kind of like what we're doing right now, a lot of webinars, ebooks, stuff like that. That's my current role here. Previously, I was the community manager here at Wistia, so I nurtured and engaged the awesome community that we have. We recently moved over to Slack, and I'm still very active on there. So it's kind of two different faces of one community role, I would say.
Do you have a favorite video that you've stumbled upon, either something you guys, your team created internally, or something that the community, someone in the community generated since you've been working there?
It's so hard to say because we actually just ran the numbers, and our video team since January has created something like over 200 videos.
Wow.
Yeah, we make a ton of videos here at Wistia, and they're all just super fun. But I think probably my favorite one was this collaborative video that we created together in the community, where a bunch of folks sent in videos of themselves saying hello and welcome. So new community members felt like they belonged, and they felt like there were real people here. And we used that as part of our community onboarding process. And that was probably my favorite because all these folks worked together and we created something really cool and special.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm going to have to check that out. So
you can actually see that video if you're interested. You can go to wistia.com/community/how it works. That sort of internet speak. And you can see it right up there. It's pretty cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll get that link too. We'll put it in the show notes so that people who are checking this out on the AWeber blog, they can actually just click the link and check it out as well. So let's jump right into the topic, which is using video and email together to support each other. I think that the barrier to entry for creating engaging video on the web has dropped significantly, not just in the past like 5 years, but really in the past like year or two. But I still feel like a lot of people, they don't have the confidence that they're equipped to create video. But I feel like that's a total myth. So can you quickly debunk that myth and really just let us know how people are creating engaging video without a whole bunch of tech or a whole bunch of experience?
Absolutely. So I think that, you know, you're absolutely right. In the last year, we've seen a lot of developments that allow folks to create video really easily just with what they have with them. Our video producer likes to say that the most powerful camera that you have is the one in your pocket. And you can create videos with just your iPhone or your Android or what have you, that look really professional, really great, and that achieve your goals. And depending on what your goals are, you can actually use things like your MacBook webcam to record videos. You can do a lot of really personal videos right in Wistia with our record feature. There's a lot that you can do with what you have around you. And a lot of folks ask us, you know, I don't have like $1,500 to create a studio. Well, you don't actually need that money. And we have something online called the DIY Lighting Kit, where we have links to Amazon where you can create your own lighting studio with $100. There's not a lot that you actually need. And even if you don't have that $100 right now, you can't invest it. You can't, you know, get the budget for it. You can sit in front of a window with your iPhone or with your MacBook webcam and make a video that looks really good. And that may surprise a lot of folks or be like, you know, no way. But if you just follow a list of best practices for that, you can create something that looks professional.
And your team puts out a ton of great resources. So we'll also link up to your Wistia resources as well. So in addition to, you know, setting up lighting on a budget, maybe downloading best practices on how to shoot with your iPhone, are there any other important tips or tricks that you can share for just any small businesses, anyone who's trying to get scrappy with video and really just record on a budget?
I mean, I think that when folks look at your product versus a competitor, let's say that's identical, right? They want to have that trust factor that will allow them to say, you know what? These people look cool. These people seem trustworthy. And I think that you can create a lot of really good culture videos that show what kind of folks you have at your company, at your business, and then get those out into the world through social media. And so that doesn't need to look super professional because the videos are lighthearted and fun. So I would definitely recommend starting somewhere there. I think you can also start with something like Facebook Live, which is a great way to use video on a budget. You know, you really don't need anything at all.
Sure.
And, you know, just have those conversations with folks, show them what you're about, do a little bit of, you know, thought leadership over, we just did a Facebook Live about how to do social video, for example. So that's something that you can do right away. That's really low effort. And go for it. And once you start doing it, you'll feel more comfortable. You'll feel like you have more ideas and things that you want to do with video. And then you'll be a little more inspired. I understand that, you know, starting with not a lot of professional gear or what have you can be scary. But I think just like with everything, once you get started, you're going to do great.
I also love what you said about, you know, really directing this idea of the culture video being a really good starter video for someone who's just getting involved. And I definitely resonate with that idea of, you know, just generating that trust factor. And we talk about this all the time with email marketing. You know, people don't typically buy from people they don't trust. So if your emails are heavily, you know, salesy or pushy, you're really not going to be developing that trust. And I think with email as well as video, they're just such perfect mediums for storytelling and being human. And I think if you can really be authentic and nail that, you're going to be developing that level of trust with your subscribers or with your video viewers. So I would totally second that. In addition to the culture video, you know, if somebody is stuck at that idea generation stage, right? Like they know they want to explore video as a medium to grow their business. They just don't know what their ideal videos look like. Do you, or your team, do you have any tips on how to just generate good video ideas?
I mean, I think you have to think about your goals, right?
Sure.
Think about your goals and think about your audience and where they are in the buyer's journey, and then create content around that. Like, so for us, a lot of it would be something like this, right? So I don't know about video marketing, or I haven't done video marketing. How do I do it? Well, lucky for me, we know a little bit about that. So that thought leadership is definitely a great way to get started with video content. I would just sit down and think about all the questions, all the issues that your audience has, and then do a video on how to solve those things. So how-tos are really great. You can see Rand's Whiteboard Fridays video.
Yeah, for sure.
Those are super helpful, and he's got a certain style to him, and you can definitely do something like that. And I would just say sit down for an hour with your coworkers and just have a really good brainstorm about what questions your audience has and how you can solve them or answer them in a video.
Do you recommend people scripting out their early videos?
I do recommend it. A lot of times it can be very tricky to just speak with no script on a video. It's scary. I mean, if you haven't done video before, if you haven't been in front of the camera before, or even if you have a million times, it's still really scary. And I think that having something scripted out means that you're going to hit your goals, you're going to hit what you want to say, and you're going to make sure that the final product comes out exactly how you want it, because ad-libbing is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Okay, so let's say, you know, I'm a small business marketer. I've read the tips and tricks. I've downloaded the lighting guide. I've set up my set, record it with my iPhone. Everything looks great. I host the video. I drive some traffic to it. But I want to start incorporating these videos in email. I'm curious, you know, as a former community manager and you're in your current role, you know, what are some effective ways that you've seen marketers and businesses use video specifically in email?
I think, you know, I'm going to say this a lot, I think, in this podcast, but it comes down to what your goals are. So
sure.
If you want something that is specific to one person, maybe you're doing customer success videos. Those are going to look way different than marketing videos or like account marketing pitch videos or, you know, thought leadership videos or what have you. So I think that the best emails that will go out are going to have not a lot of copy, a sentence, two sentences maybe on top of that video thumbnail. And then you're going to have a video thumbnail that's really engaging. and you're going to have a CTA, right? So that video thumbnail, when someone clicks on it, is going to go to the same place that your CTA goes to.
Okay.
It's going to go to your website, and your video is going to be prominently featured at the top of your website, so folks don't have to go looking for it. That's going to be your best performing email.
And what are the biggest mistakes that you see people make with emails and video?
I think that folks make mistakes when it comes to thumbnail a lot.
Okay.
I think, you know, your thumbnail has to be really engaging, and I would always recommend putting a human face on your thumbnail instead of some text. Maybe you want to put a cool like title in there. Just scrap that and go straight for the person. You know, you have a smiling person, someone who looks happy, is excited to tell you about something. Folks are going to be moved to click on that way more than they're going to be moved to click on, you know, the coolest title that you can create. So that would be something definitely to take advantage of. I also see folks take the play button out, and so it's hard to tell that it's a video thumbnail. That play button is super important to keep in your email video thumbnail, because folks are moved to click on that play button. They see that play button, they're like, oh, this is a video, I want to see what this is about right now. You're going to have a way higher click-through rate when you use that play button than if you don't.
Yeah, and we've actually, we've tested different types of play buttons too. So you can even take it one step further by like testing different colors, different design, to really drive engagement and track that. So I would absolutely recommend people do that too. I think a lot of marketers who are new to video and email, they don't necessarily understand the difference between embedded video and using a thumbnail that links out to where the video is hosted or to your site. Can you talk briefly about, you know, kind of the difference between, you know, technically embedding a video and actually just using a thumbnail?
Yeah, absolutely. We get that question a lot. And you always want to have that video thumbnail. You don't want to embed that video into your email. Because if you think about it, if you want folks to click on a CTA, which every email should have a CTA, you're going to have less folks click on that CTA or go through to that website page, whatever it is that you want them to do, because it's asking them to do another step, right? So what you want to do is have that video thumbnail in your email and have it link back to your website, because you don't want to cannibalize, I guess, your traffic there. So when folks click through to a thumbnail to your website to watch the video, they're able to easily make a connection to other parts of your website or follow your video's call to action. It's going to be a lot easier for them to take that next step because they're already there.
And I would imagine too that, you know, you would want to drive the traffic to your site anyways for analytics purposes, also because your site is where, you know, the rest of the action happens. You know, like you have, if you sell a product, that's where your product is being sold. If you have a service, that's where your service is being explained. So I think, and we get this question a lot too, I think there's a desire to have the email embedded from marketers who think that that's more of an engaging experience. But actually, if you can craft this, the thumbnail, the perfect experience where the thumbnail, the CTA takes you to the logical next step in that experience, that journey, it's actually really effective.
Absolutely. We've actually seen that using a custom thumbnail can increase your play rate by 34%.
Oh, cool.
So having that like cool, engaging thumbnail, people will click on that and they'll have that experience on your website where they can make that next step that you want them to make.
So here's a question that I have. Is it valuable to reveal at some point in the email the length of the video so that people have an idea of what they're actually clicking on in terms of length?
So we haven't experimented with that a lot. So I would like to hear what other folks have seen if they've tested this before. We have a new player called the Vulcan Player, which shows you how long the video is. And that has been getting a lot of positive feedback. So I mean, I think that would be a cool thing to test. We actually haven't done a lot of that, so I can't say.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. And we'll put that question out too, because maybe some of our AWeber customers have tested that as well.
I would love to hear what other folks have done around that.
I'm curious because I think same with embedding video. I think a lot of marketers have a perception that really short videos will always outperform long videos. But I think a lot of marketers who test short videos versus long videos, they are oftentimes surprised with the results. So have you done any testing around length? And I know, like you mentioned earlier, it's always going to depend on the goals of the marketer or the small business owner. But if you're trying to get leads or get people to take an action, short videos versus long videos, have you found any interesting results there?
We have, and we actually just published a blog post about this. We did some research on Wistia, how videos do depending on their length, and we actually found that if your video is up to 2 minutes long, if it's not after 2 minutes, you're going to have a really high, awesome engagement rate of about 70, maybe 65%. That's very high. 70% is excellent. If you have 70% engagement, you're doing really well. Once your video passes that 2 minute mark, that engagement starts to drop very quickly. Once you get up to 7 minutes, it starts to flatten out again. So basically we're seeing that if you have a really long video, it's very, very valuable. You're still going to get that valuable engagement of up to 50%, right? But if it depends on the type of video you have. And so that was a really cool study that we made, and how it relates to our content is we usually have our videos be about a minute and a half long, and we get really high engagement. It's awesome. And then we published a video that was ungated that was something like 43 minutes long at one point. And it was a guide, I think it was a DSLR guide, if I remember correctly. And our engagement on that was very high. And so I think if you segment really well, folks are going to be able to find the content that matters to them. And if it matters and if it has value, they're going to stick around for the long haul. But I think if we're talking about, you know, generally videos, then you want to stick to 2 minutes or less.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm curious to check out that article, so I'll grab that link, and we'll throw that on the show notes as well. Okay, cool. So we talked a little bit about, you know, creating an engaging video. We talked a little bit about identifying your goals, testing length, testing custom thumbnail versus regular thumbnail, adding the thumbnail instead of embedding the video. So we covered a lot of ground. So after we've done all those things, you know, we have it in the email. We're ready to send. We're keeping our body copy short, keeping our CTA directing to the same place as the thumbnail. How do we actually get people to, you know, open the email and engage with it? So I've seen a lot of emails, and I've actually clicked on a lot of emails that explicitly said video in the title, or they used like an emoji that indicated there was a video. I don't know if you've seen any tactics like that, but do you have any tips or tricks in terms of getting people to open and then actually click?
Absolutely. I think we've seen for sure that using the word video in a subject line will increase your open rate. We've seen that be very, very clear. And so we do a lot more of that now. And as much as, you know, people rag on the clickbaity titles of 14 ways, a great blah, 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 can do this for you. It works. You know, people want to know what they're getting into, right? You want to know what you're about to click into. And if you see, oh, they're definitely going to list 3 ways that this, this, and this, it's the clearest thing, and people really want that. So I think as much as you want to come up with really cool metaphors and like really fun jokes and subject lines, it's always going to perform worse than something that's very, very clear and direct. So I would definitely go for that. I would test more of that in your subject lines. Test more of the word video, and I think you'll see higher open rates there.
Yeah, and I totally agree with those subject lines that are very direct. And if your video solves a problem, let people know that you're going to solve their problem. So if it's, you know, 3 ways to do X, and doing X is a problem for your subscribers, don't obscure that you have a solution with, you know, kind of the curiosity-based emails, if you can just be direct and just say 3 ways to do X. And then if you mention video, you can test that too. I actually just had a really interesting conversation with a colleague, Rebecca, about testing odd numbers versus even numbers with those types of subject lines.
Ooh, so that's interesting.
We've both read a couple of different sources that said odd numbers perform better. So we actually want to test that. You know, whereas instead of saying like 10, if you say something like 15 or 13, it's kind of a more eye-catching number. But that's beside the point. If we test that, we'll
let us know. We'll that's interesting. Know.
Yeah, it could be an interesting thing to test with video as well. Okay, so sent email. Video is in the email. We have a really strong open rate. People are clicking. People are driving traffic. We're driving traffic back to our site. People are watching hopefully people are watching the videos. What are some other stats or other pieces of data that you recommend, especially people who are new to video marketing, that they get started with just in terms of keeping track of the success of their videos and how they can optimize just to continue to improve?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think a lot of folks nowadays just look at play count or view count, and that is a metric that's not going to help you at all. What you want to focus on are things that you can change and improve. So you want to focus on engagement rate. You want to focus on play rate. And so if you see that your play rate is really low, for example, you have a play rate of 30%, that's something that you can change and you can fix. So you want to ask yourself why that is. Maybe your video is really low on the bottom of your page and folks just aren't getting to it. And you can move it up on your site so folks will see it more. Maybe your thumbnail is not engaging. It's not something that people are excited to watch. You can change your thumbnail, test your thumbnail to see what works better. I think that's a really important metric. I think engagement is a great metric to look at. If you're using Wistia, you'll see on the right-hand side, you're able to see how many people rewatched your video, where folks stopped watching your video. And that's really important because it shows you, well, maybe I can be more engaging in this part, or maybe this part doesn't really matter. Nobody cares about this part. They're skipping it or they're not watching it. Or, wow, there's a big spike in rewatches all of a sudden. That's weird. Maybe you want to look into that and then make your video focus on that part of the video. So those are all really important things that you can actually iterate on and change and make those numbers go up and to the right. And I would definitely recommend looking at those analytics when you're first starting out and playing around with that.
I feel like with the kind of thought leadership style videos, and then especially with tutorial videos, how-to videos, where you're explaining, you know, maybe a part of your product, or you're explaining how to do a specific function, those engagement metrics, like where people are rewatching and where people are skipping, are incredibly important. So when you kind of see those spikes, what types of questions, like, do you think people should ask themselves? You know, does it always mean that, you know, maybe I wasn't being clear, or is that just a potential opportunity for you to just either slow down or reiterate something? Like, I just feel like that's an interesting area to jump into.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it could go either way. If you're seeing a really big rewatch spike, you want to find out why. So maybe you aren't being clear, and maybe you want to show a video to someone else and say, do you understand this? Does this make sense? Am I mumbling? Can you hear what I'm saying? Right? So those are all things that could be a problem. Or if you're rewatching those places where the rewatch number picked up, it might just be different, very interesting content. And folks are like, wait, what was that? I want to hear that again.
Sure.
And then you have to think to yourself, wow, people are interested in this. Let me make another video about this specific part and market it to those same folks that rewatch this area. And then you're going to see those engagement rates rise, and that's going to be a really great way to create content that you know people want, content that you know is going to perform well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think this is really important. I hope for anyone who's listening, who's engaging with video marketing, if you're not doing this, that you start checking it out, just because I do think that a lot of people focus just on play count, and you're just not able to really analyze the success of, are you hitting your goals, if that's the only metric that you're looking at. And I guess there's a lot of tools out there where, you know, the analytics are limited. So I guess that's where, you know, the value of using a platform like Wistia comes into play, because you're able to get so much more insight. I want to shift the conversation over slightly. We're also running up on time, so I'm trying to be mindful of that.
Yeah.
Email marketers, we love to grow our email lists. And I know from experience here at AWeber, there's a huge opportunity for using video to actually attract new subscribers. So we talked about how to use video to engage your current subscribers. But are there any ways, we've used Turnstile before.
Awesome.
So I was hoping maybe you could explain for our listeners what Turnstile is, how that works, and how people can use it to grow their list.
Yeah. So Turnstile is the name that we have given to a product that Wistia has, which is basically a lead generation form that goes on top of your video. So right now, if you're not using Turnstile, you have a separate form that's separate from your video, that folks fill out. It has a bunch of fields, and you put it somewhere on your webpage. So a Turnstile allows you to create an overlay basically on top of your video that will ask folks for their name and their email address. What that does is it gives you a different way of strategizing your video content. So let's say that you have maybe items behind a paywall or something like that, and you have a Turnstile up to generate leads. You can have a Turnstile on really valuable content, thought leadership content, long guides, what have you, to generate leads. You can have them on videos that introduce an event. Maybe they're promoting a webinar or something like that. Turnstiles are really great for that. So Turnstiles will work on your site. They'll work on Twitter, for example. So you can have a lead gen option in different parts of your marketing strategy that you wouldn't have otherwise had. And that connects with your email client. It connects with your HubSpot, Marketo, Pardot, Salesforce. And it's just a great way to kind of give lead gen a new push. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, we love it. We use it here at AWeber, as I mentioned. Do you have any tips for optimizing it? Like, is it, and I know this will align with your goals if you want to kind of,
yes,
if you want to put that in front of the entire video, but have you seen, and I forget the exact applications that we've used it for, but I feel like if I were to create a Turnstile video from scratch, I would probably show maybe the first 30 seconds of my video and then put it up. But do you have any studies or research that show that there's a good way to optimize it?
Yes. We actually put out a Turnstile guide at Wistia, I feel like just a couple of days ago.
Cool.
So you can check that out. It's in our library. Let's see here. Just a couple days ago. So that's cool. And it talks about how to use Turnstile and call to action, like annotation links, to optimize how they perform within your video. And so it's interesting that you said that you would put a Turnstile about 30 seconds in, because most folks will put their Turnstile either at the very, very beginning before a video has had a chance to play. So it's like, enter your email address to view this video. Or at the very end of a video, so they'll say, hey, did you like that video? Sign up for our other stuff. But we found that putting a Turnstile in the middle of the video is the best way to go, which is really, really interesting. We've seen that the conversion rate mid-roll is going to be a lot higher than in the beginning or in the end. So I think mid-roll conversion rate, we're looking at 22%, which is huge. Whereas post-roll and pre-roll, we're looking at from 3% to about 9% conversion. So that's a really big difference. So what you want to do in this case is don't just pop in a Turnstile in the middle of your video. Just find the middle of your video and pop in a Turnstile. That's going to be a bad experience for the viewer. And we hear a lot of feedback like, well, why would you want to do that? Don't viewers feel like, what is this? Where is this coming from? Now I have to put in an email address. This is weird. But what you want to do is script your video around your Turnstile. So when you're scripting your video, just like you usually would, you know you want to put a Turnstile in the middle. You know, have an actor be like, we're so excited to share more information with you. Pop in your email and let's get started, or however you want to script that. So folks know a turnstile is coming. They're not taken aback. They're not taken by surprise. And they know that they've already gotten value and they can expect more once they put their email in. So those videos that are scripted around the turnstile are going to perform really, really well.
Yeah, and it's just such a much better experience. You know, like I'm of the mindset, because I also write for a lot of blogs. My blogging strategy typically with lead gen is to put the lead capture right in the blog post where I feel like the reader is going to be most engaged. Mm-hmm. But I'll always wrap it in some context that you're going to get something relevant related to this blog post if you sign up for this. And I think your tactic of scripting the turnstile is a really great way to kind of emulate that, where you're going to catch people where they're really engaged. You're going to put it in there, but you're going to give them some context around why it's there. But then also let them know what the value is that they're going to get for continuing to give you their email address. So yeah, that's awesome. In addition to turnstile, are there any other ways that you see businesses using video to generate leads?
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you use annotations, calls to action within your video, you can make folks go to a certain place wherever it is that you want them to go. So maybe it's a webinar registration, or maybe it's signing up for your email list or what have you. As long as you script your video around that and make it fun and make it engaging, you're going to be able to collect leads in a really cool way that folks aren't doing much of. So I definitely will recommend looking into that.
I also feel like personalized videos live in that like low effort, high impact realm, where like if you have kind of a boilerplate video, I've seen this happen with like B2B sales, where mm-hmm. like if you have a boilerplate video and then you just personalize the bookends to directly call out, you know, maybe somebody that you're trying to attract, you know, or start a relationship with, a business relationship with, that could be a really effective way to get people's attention with video. And then I guess, is it Warby Parker that does personalized customer service videos?
We do a lot of that here at Wistia as well. So I would definitely recommend that. Like if you have a sales team, if you have a customer success team, have them do personalized videos. Just, you know, 30-second videos. If you have someone who's their account manager, just a video saying, hey, I'm this person, you know, I can't wait to talk to you. I know you wanted to talk about XYZ, let's get on a call. Those will convert a lot higher than, I mean, anything else that you put in there, because it's that personal human relationship that's important to folks in this age of marketing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That's really great advice. And I hope that some of our listeners can try that out as well. And if you do and you find success, you know, if you try any of these things and you find success, definitely let us know, because I would love to highlight that.
One thing I'd love to just add on to that, in Wistia, we have a record feature. So you can record right from Wistia and then it's in your account. Send it to that person and then you'll be able to see when that person viewed your video. Which is a really cool kind of stat to use in your process.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to transition over to the rapid fire round. I'm going to ask you a series of questions. This is going to be fun. These questions are really focused towards email marketing, email marketers. I know you're a video marketer by trade, but I feel like most of these questions shouldn't be too off base.
Let's do it.
And then we'll wrap things up. So I'm going to start off with question number one. The goal here, you don't have to think too deeply on these, just a rapid fire answer. Yeah, let's do it. Rapid fire round. Question number one. Do you have either a favorite subject line or type of subject line?
Yeah, my favorite subject line is definitely going to be that 24 ways to use video and your marketing strategy to convert leads, something like that, because it's clear, it's direct, and it converts, frankly.
Yeah, and it's totally not spammy, which I love. Yep. Question number two, what's your email marketing pet peeve? Something that other email marketers do that really sets you off?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I have had two of these emails in the last like 2 weeks, I think, where someone will write with the subject line, re: that thing we talked about, remember? And then you click into it and you're like, I have never spoken to you. Why would you do that? We've never talked, but the subject line is re: that thing you mentioned earlier, or, you know, what have you. And that is just the worst thing you can do, because it's a terrible experience.
So I would say in the last maybe 8 episodes that I recorded for this show, that was the answer for like 5 out of the 8 interviews that I just did. So
everyone hates it. It's horrible.
It must be like a new trend that spammy salespeople are using.
It's so bad.
It's really frustrating for me. That's definitely my pet peeve of the moment. I can understand why people are doing it, because it gets me to click. So it is.
I mean, okay,
it is,
but
getting
it's
the click.
Trick. I'm not going to convert. There's definitely nothing you're gonna get from me except being upset, you know.
Yeah, and I think it ties back to what you've reiterated, which is know your goals. You know, so if your goal is just to increase open rates, like, sure, you're hitting your goals, but if it's to start a really strong human relationship based on trust and get people to convert, either buy your product or service, like, you're automatically making a trust deduction.
Yeah.
I almost want to have a full episode just on that.
On that. That would be an interesting episode. Yeah. And have folks who have done it before and why they do it. Yeah.
Just having both sides, you know, kind of a old school high school debate style episode. That would be a lot of fun. Okay. Next question. We digress. Best piece of advice for new email marketers.
Best piece of advice, segmentation. Segment your emails to the nitty gritty. Segment them down to the bone. Because what you want is you want folks who are going to convert. You know, don't send your email to your entire email list, because you're going to get a ton of unsubscribes. And then you're basically just, you know, killing off your email list, which is horrible. You want to find the folks who you think would be the most interested in your content. And even if that list is 100 people long, that is going to be way, way better, way higher quality than your 300,000 people list, because those people are actually going to do what you want them to do.
Yeah, and it's so easy to do now, too. That's another popular answer, and I think a lot of people are scared of segmentation because it sounds complicated. But it's super simple to do. So that's a great answer. Next question. What is one thing, this is kind of a technical question, one thing that email can't do currently that you hope that it can do in the future?
You know what? I'm going to answer this in a non-technical answer.
Sure.
I think I'm going to say build strong relationships. I think we use email to communicate so much with others, and you know, we can delight them, we can bring them value, we can do all of this, but that's not really what's building your strong relationship. And I think that video is helping that in a way, but I think that face-to-face meetings or video meetings are going to be the best way to build those relationships, and email's just lacking there a little bit for me, which is why I think video is a great way to start, you know, putting in that, building that trust factor and building that human responsiveness. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, that's an awesome answer. And then my final question is, if you could recommend any one thing, it could be completely unrelated to marketing. It could be a Medium article, book, podcast, TV show that you're watching. Any one thing for our listeners, what would that one thing be?
I would say Broccoli Rob. If you haven't tried it, it's delicious. But also the Harvard Business Review site. I know that folks probably know about this, but I think they just put out a podcast, which is really good. And they've just been putting out some killer articles lately. So I would definitely check that out for sure.
All right, cool. We'll put that in the show notes. I don't know how I'm going to link Broccoli Rob up in the show notes, but I'll find a way.
You can figure it out. It's delicious.
There's got to be a good recipe out there for, you know, the perfect sauteed Broccoli Rob.
I just had it for lunch, and now it's on my mind.
Okay, awesome. Final question. I lied. Where can our listeners find out more about you and more about Wistia on the internet?
Yeah, so you can tweet me at Margot Codes. That's Margot with a T. I'm attached to my phone pretty much, so it's kind of embarrassing, but tweet me. I love to talk about this sort of stuff. For Wistia, if you are just starting to get involved in video marketing or video production or what have you, I would definitely recommend checking out our blog and our library. So that's wistia.com/library. We have a lot of really, really cool articles and guides. Most of it you can just check out online. Most of it is ungated. So there's that. But we also do a ton of webinars, and I would really recommend checking out some of those because they go really in-depth. We're about to do one with Bitly on August 11th about measuring success with your videos. So tracking your videos, doing metrics around your videos, and that's really cool. But we do a lot of topics from beginner to super advanced, so I would definitely recommend checking that out for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. And again, you know, we link up all this stuff, so I'll grab all the links, and then you can check that out as well. And we've been on a couple webinars as well, and they're really awesome, really top notch. So thank you so much for joining us, Margot. Thank you also for, again, just your team continuing to put out a great product, continuing to put out really great content. We definitely appreciate it over here. But yeah, this has been a great episode. Lots of valuable content. So if you're not doing video marketing, today is your day to pick up that iPhone or pick up your Android and really shoot your first video. And even if no one sees it, even if you're the only person who sees it, it's a great opportunity for you to just dig in and get started, because I think we can both attest to the value of video marketing.
For sure. Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's been great. So that's going to wrap up today's episode of the Ask Me About Email Marketing podcast. And remember, if you have a question about digital or email marketing, you can get in touch with me on Twitter. My handle is at TNRT, four letters, TNRT. Or you can tweet at AWeber. It's the official AWeber Twitter account. Just mention the podcast and we'll get back to you. We'd love to hear from you. Or you can visit aweber.com/podcast. You can leave a voicemail on that page, a really quick, easy way for you to just get in touch with us and ask a question. And we also play those questions on future episodes, and we'll answer those on the show. If you want to see the show notes for this episode, just go to blog.aweber.com/podcast, and you'll see this show and then the archive of all other episodes with those notes as well. If you enjoyed this episode and you want to take a few seconds to leave us a review on iTunes, that would be much appreciated. It does not have to be a 5-star review. Just letting me know how you feel about the show helps me to continue to improve and serve the audience as best as I can. With that, you know, have a great week. We'll talk to you next Tuesday for another episode of Ask Me About Email Marketing, and best of luck out there with your marketing efforts.